Chapter 6. Back in England. This was the first time I allowed myself to think about what would happen once I returned to Britain. Would the foreign agents try to find me there also? I had committed a serious crime in their country. I had tried to assassinate their leader, or at least it appeared that I had been trying to do so. They couldn't go to the British police after the way they had treated me. But then I couldn't go to the police either. The most important point was this. I was a criminal in my country and also in theirs. And if they wanted to kill me, they could do so easily. My next thought was that I was worrying unnecessarily. Why would they want to continue searching for me? But the answer was obvious. They knew that I was the type of person who could quite possibly return and try again to kill their leader. The hunting types among them would understand that the temptation to do this would be great. The journey to England took several days. When I heard a change in the noise of the diesel engines, I realized that we were going up the River Thames to London. Later that day, a note was dropped into my tank, along with a pair of dark glasses. "Don't go out through the gates. There's a man watching us, and he looks suspicious to me. Take the little boat on the left side of the ship and row quickly across to the public steps on the east wall of the river. I'll take the boat back later. Best of luck. R. Vayner, First Officer." An hour later, he knocked on my tank. I waited 2 or 3 minutes and then climbed out. There was a light in Mr. Vayner's cabin, and I could hear a loud conversation. Mr. Vayner was entertaining the night watchman, so that I could leave without being seen. I got into the little boat and started my journey to London. It was almost 10 o'clock in the evening when I finally found myself in the streets of London. I found a grill room where I ordered an enormous amount of meat. I wanted to phone the club where I always stay when I'm in London, but at the last minute I changed my mind. I told myself that I couldn't walk into the club in my dirty old clothes and in my condition. Finally, I took a room in a modest hotel. The room had a bath, and I filled it with hot water and took the most enjoyable bath that I can remember. It rested and calmed me more than any sleep. While I was lying in the hot water, I began to understand the real reason why I hadn't telephoned my club. My conscience was beginning to trouble me. I didn't think of myself as a person who would really commit a murder. I really believed that I could always stop myself, even at the last minute. But it was impossible for me to enter my club after my activities in Europe. How could I talk to the people there after what I had done? How could I expose the other members of the club to the unpleasant experience of being watched and perhaps questioned by the police? When I got out of the bath, I examined my body carefully in the mirror. I had some bad scars on the backs of my legs, but the wounds had healed. My fingers looked much better, and I was able to use them for everything, except very hard or very delicate work. However, my eye still needed some attention. Next morning, I changed all the foreign money I had, and then I bought myself a respectable suit. I got a list of eye specialists and contacted one of them. The man asked me a lot of annoying questions. "How did you injure your eye so badly? Where did this happen? Why didn't you take care of it?" he wanted to know. "I've been abroad for a long time," I answered. "I was staying in a country where I couldn't get good medical care." "Well, there's not much I can do," he said. "You'll be lucky if you see more than the difference between light and darkness." He gave me some medicine, and he put on a big bandage which covered not only my eye, but also part of my head. The doctor was wrong about my eye, though. It still doesn't look pretty, but it functions better every day. I was pleased with the big bandage. It made me look as if I had injured my head and not my eye, and I felt this would help me move around in London without being recognised by the police.